Des Cahill is back with the sport, and obviously sad news on the morning of Phil Hughes. And a reminder about, we were just talking here about the weight of a cricket ball. It's like no other sporting ball. What's it like?
A hockey ball, well, it's big and it's very heavy and obviously very powerful. This is for people who are joining late. The news that Australian Test batsman Phil Hughes has died 2 days after being hit on the head by a ball. He would have been 26 on Sunday, very young man, and it was horrific. I mean, the pictures, a lot of people have seen the pictures. Like, he collapsed face first into the ground after being hit. Now, he was hit behind the ear and above the neck, going back to your point, with a bouncer, which is kind of an aggressive ball, but the helmet didn't cover that particular area. And we were just saying earlier, for those who'd wonder why, apparently if the helmet was to cover it right down that area to the neck, it would restrict movement and possibly cause other injuries as well. That's why it didn't cover there. But it does pose questions. Two young cricketers died last year, actually. I was just looking, one in South Africa struck on the side of the head, and one in Pakistan was struck in the chest by a cricket ball. There have been a few deaths from the ball hitting somebody in the chest as well, with the power and pace of it. So it is a very, very dangerous ball, obviously, if not. Now, Phil Hughes is an international class batsman and would be used to trying to avoid it. It was really a freak accident. Now, many tributes are being paid to him as we speak in Australia. Here's Cricket Australia's James Sutherland.
Without doubt, he was a rising star whose best cricket was still ahead of him. Hughesy, Huey, or Hugh Dog, as he was known to many of his mates, was much loved. You only have to sift through the thousands of messages of support, prayers and well wishes for Philip from cricketers and supporters all over the world to understand the affection felt towards him. He will forever be remembered as one of the elite few to have worn the baggy green cap, cap number 408 to be precise. He was a hero to kids around the nation, particularly those in the region around his hometown of Maxville in New South Wales. And he did them proud in his 26 test matches, a tally that looked certain to grow, but now, sadly, never will. The national selectors had certainly identified him as having a long-term future in the game. It was only a few days ago, when announcing the first test team for the forthcoming Indian series, that national selector Rod Marsh said, "He's a hell of a good batsman. He's a very, very good young player who's got 26 first-class hundreds." We all vividly remember his explosive entrance to Test cricket. In 2009, in only his second Test and at the tender age of 20, Philip blasted back-to-back centuries against South Africa. And only last year, he showed his class again when he became the first Australian batsman in the history of one-day cricket to score a century on debut. But it was Philip as a person that we will miss most. He was a classic example of his country upbringing, humble, understated, and hard-working. When the chips were down or he had a setback, he simply got on with the job and worked harder. He set a wonderful example to any young person seeking to make their way in life.
It's very sad. And the young bowler as well, merits a thought. He's only 22 and he's receiving counselling at the moment. It's just a dreadful story on so many levels, affecting a lot of people. Now, we're staying in Australia because in golf, Rory McIlroy is just two shots off the lead after the opening round of the Australian Open Golf. He's the defending champion. He's two under par after an opening round of 69. The leader on four under is the American Jordan Spieth. Now, last night's Champions League action was disappointing for Liverpool fans. They conceded a late goal to draw 2-2 away to Ludogorets. However, because Basel were beaten at home by the group winners Real Madrid, Liverpool can still qualify from the group if they win their last game at home to Basel on December the 9th. Ricky Lambert and Jordan Henderson scored the Liverpool goals last night. In Group D, Arsenal beat Borussia Dortmund by 2-0 to qualify along with Dortmund for the knockout stages. It's the 15th consecutive season that Arsenal have reached the last 16. It's some achievement. Goals from Sonogo and Alexis Sanchez last night. The other teams who definitely qualified from last night, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid and Bayer Leverkusen. In tonight's Europa League action, Celtic are at home to Red Bull Salzburg, Tottenham host Partizan Belgrade, Everton go to Wolfsburg. The FAI board has come out strongly in defence of their chief executive John Delaney, saying they're happy to bring the recent controversy to a close and confirmed they have given him a contract extension until the year 2020. Fergal O'Brien was beaten 6-4 by the Brazilian Igor Figueiredo in the first round of the UK Snooker Championship in York last night. Louth man John Sutton lost 6-0 to Ding Junhui, and Gerard Green won his match. Ken Doherty's in action at 9:30 this morning. Three more high-profile retirements in Gaelic games. Two Kilkenny legends, Brian Hogan and Aidan Fogarty, who between them have won 15 All-Ireland titles. And Tipperary forward John O'Brien also announced he is quitting. Mark English was named Ireland's Athlete of the Year after a brilliant summer when the Donegal man won bronze in the men's 800 metres final at the European Championships. And in racing, Tony McCoy made a winning return from his injury at Fontwell yesterday. And the big focus in today's racing at Thurles is the appearance of Willie Mullins' Unda So over hurdles. Already unbeaten in 9 races, he goes in the opening race at 12:20.